Greetings in Jesus' name and a special welcome to all of our visitors this morning. Glad to have each one of all of y'all here. And it's a beautiful day to be gathered together like this. I'm going to be looking at Psalm 72 this morning, so you could turn there with me if you like. The title of my devotional, is "And He Shall Live." Thought about talking about time change, but I decided not to. You know, this time change just kind of reminds me of like when you're singing a song and you flat a note. It's not a disaster, but it's uncomfortable. And that's a little bit how this time change feels. Okay, Psalm 72. And this is a psalm that it's the time of transition in the kingdom of Israel as the kingdom was transitioning from David to Solomon, and it's the blessing that David is giving Solomon, but there's a lot of types in here as well that I'd like to look at. So let's read Psalm 72 here. "Give the king thy judgments, O God, and thy righteousness unto the king's son. He shall judge thy people with righteousness and thy poor with judgment. The mountains shall bring peace to the people and the little hills by righteousness. He shall judge the poor of the people. He shall save the children of the needy and shall break in pieces the oppressor. They shall fear thee as long as the sun and moon endure throughout all generations. He shall come down like rain upon the mown grass, as showers that water the earth. In his days shall the righteous flourish, and the abundance of peace so long as the moon endureth. He shall have dominion also from sea to sea, and from the river unto the ends of the earth. They that dwell in the wilderness shall bow before him, and his enemies shall lick the dust. The kings of Tarshish and the isles shall bring presents. The kings of Sheba and Seba shall offer gifts. Yea, all kings shall fall down before him. All nations shall serve him. For he shall deliver the needy when he crieth, the poor also, and him that hath no helper. He shall spare the poor and needy. He shall save the souls of the needy. He shall redeem their soul from deceit and violence, and precious shall their blood be in his sight. And he shall live, and to him shall be given of the gold of Sheba. Prayer also shall be made for him continually, and daily shall he be praised. There shall be an handful of corn in the earth upon the top of the mountains. The fruit thereof shall shake like Lebanon, and they of the city shall flourish like grass of the earth. His name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun, and men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things. And blessed be his glorious name forever, and let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. The prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended." In the first few verses, we see the handoff of power. As David was handing this to his son, it was a direct transferal of power. David was going to be giving his title as king and the authority that came with it to his son Solomon. And in much the same way, through the relationship of a son, God gave to Jesus as he came to earth his authority, his kingship, his power, and it was evidenced by Jesus as he spent time here on earth. Jesus was also furthering a kingdom, but it wasn't an earthly kingdom. It was the kingdom of God. It was a spiritual one rather than the physical one that David was giving to Solomon. Solomon is a type of Christ as the Prince of Peace. Solomon's reign over the kingdom of Israel was a time of peace. It was a time of prosperity for the kingdom of Israel there. And as we put ourselves under the authority and the kingship of God, we too can have peace in our hearts and we can prosper spiritually. Solomon was going to rule with his best judgment. And we know the story of Solomon and how he asked for a special blessing of wisdom, and he was granted that. And we know Solomon as a wise and just ruler, or at least as a wise ruler. The kingdom of heaven is going to be ruled with perfect wisdom, perfect judgment, perfect righteousness. And then we see on through verse 9, it talks about the blessings that will come in this reign of Solomon. It talks about peace. What brings peace? Here it says that righteousness is what brings peace. What do mountains and hills have to do with peace? It talks about them coming from the mountains. Switzerland is a country that has long been neutral in many of the world wars that have happened. And one thing that has helped Switzerland to maintain its neutrality are the Alps. They are a natural barrier against armies being able to easily pour into the country. So mountains are a barrier that help preserve peace. It's a pre-made wall that is defending against attack. So as we have Christ and we live in his kingdom, as we have him in our hearts, he is a mountain of peace around us. He is a pre-made wall that we can be inside of and experience peace as we are inside the strong walls of the righteousness of God, not our own righteousness. I think sometimes, at least for me, my hardest battles come when I try to fight back with my own righteousness or use my own righteousness as the metric by which I judge rather than the righteousness of God. It talks about equality. No matter the social or financial standing, everyone would get their audience with the king. And it's the same way it is for us. No matter what our background is, no matter what our inadequacies are, our insecurities, each one of us gets the same amount of time with God. And that amount of time is the time that we give to him. The limiter is not God. It's not the king. The limiter is the amount of time we choose to spend with him. It's usually us that limit the amount of work that God is able to do in our lives because of the amount of time we're actually willing to spend with him. Talks about worship. With respect and a just ruler comes an adoration from the subjects. Jesus, when he came to claim his kingdom, gave his very life for us. Recognition of that, in Revelation it says that this will go on. We'll go on praising him for eternity, and that is what we'll be praising him for. So the question then is, will we be in that mighty host that is worshiping the Lamb who was slain? Talks about replenishing here. As rain waters the plants, so the gospel of Christ waters our hearts. The word of God is typified by water in the scriptures. And as we absorb the word of God, as we absorb what he has for us, the same way as we saw when this last little bit of rain we had, how the grass just switched like that from being brown to being green, when we absorb the word of God in our hearts, we too will flourish, the way that it talks about growth happening here. Talks about dominion. And another place that uses that word dominion is in Daniel, when there's the dream that the king had of the great image, and then there was a rock that was hewn out of the mountain without hands, and it destroyed the image. It talks about dominion there. That rock then, that boulder, grew into a mountain that covered the whole earth. And that's also a type of the kingdom of Christ. The kingdom that Solomon was getting here was tiny in comparison to some of the empires that were represented by that image in the dream of the king in Daniel. But the kingdom of Christ is one that encompasses the whole world. It says to the uttermost part of the earth. And I think that there's a challenge there for us. What are we doing to further the kingdom of Christ to the uttermost part of the earth, or even to the uttermost part of my heart? Is there a little citadel that I'm keeping? Talks then about saving the needy, conquering the oppressor, recognition of the glory of this kingdom. Talks about Sheba or Seba and Tarshish. When it talks about this, the Seba and Sheba, there's some disagreement if you look at commentators and historical contexts. Is this two names for the same place, as one a person and one a place? I don't think that really matters so much, as the idea here is that from far away, there will be recognition of the glory of this kingdom. And that happened literally when the Queen of Sheba came to Solomon. She had heard of his glory from far away. And it's the same way in the kingdom of God, that from far away, the kingdom of God, if it is truly evidenced in your life, someone who has never experienced it before can catch a glimpse of the glory of God through a life that is lived for him. It talks about the conquering nature of this kingdom, subservience. Now, Solomon would not go on to conquer the world, but Christ's kingdom reaches to every person all around the world who gives themselves to him. In Hebrews 7, verse 25, it says, "Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them." The uttermost. In that case, the uttermost is me. And I think it's important to remember that sometimes, that the uttermost isn't always someone else. Sometimes the uttermost is me. Talks about deliverance. No cry of the needy heart goes unnoticed or unheard before God. Our mighty King hears and answers every plea we utter. Is that always our answer? Is it the answer we want to hear? No, it's not. But it's his answer. And we're supposed to ask with an open hand and acceptance of his sovereignty and all-knowing power. Talks also about compassion. God cares about each one of his children. And when he sees a sparrow fall, if that is something he notices, he surely will care for us. In verse 14 there, the word redeem has the idea of taking ownership. If we hand over the difficult aspects in our life to Christ, he will take ownership of them. It means he's going to use them for his purposes. So then when faced with difficulty, maybe rather than asking why, I should ask God, how can you use this, Lord? And allow him to take ownership of it. Talks then further on about legacy. In verse 15 it says, and he shall live. That is something that as Christians we have a promise of that no other religion promises. We have a king who is alive. And then it talks about daily praise. Is that what I'm offering? Sometimes I think more my tendency is to bring my daily need to Christ and my daily petition and my daily discontent rather than a daily praise. Talks about abundance here, a flourishing and vigorous growth that's going to happen with the arrival of this king. And that's what we should be experiencing in our hearts as Christ takes ownership and we allow him to redeem our hearts. We should be experiencing flourishing and abundant growth. What's Lebanon known for in the Bible? It's known for mighty cedars. When it talks about Lebanon in the Bible, it's with this idea of something strong, something massive. But what about this corn that it's talking about here? In verse 16, I think it's showing that from a small beginning can come massive growth. Instead of some wispy, trembling stalks of dried corn, we can grow to be mighty trees that withstand the storm. So what am I? Am I trembling corn or am I a mighty tree? Where we are in our journey, maybe we are still stalks of corn. Maybe we're still just a seed. Maybe we're somewhere in the middle. But what are we aspiring to be? Are we contented with the growth that we have now? Are we okay with just staying there? With God, I believe we can continue to grow and we can stand. And then it closes with praise. It says, God only does wondrous things. That's all he does. That is God. He does only wondrous things. That's a beautiful thought to me. Too many times I have a concept of God as one who deals blessing and bane seemingly at random. Over here he gives someone riches, over here he gives someone poverty. Over here he has peace, over here he has war. And it's this sort of random thing that happens and we just hope that maybe if we praise him and thank him enough for our blessings that he'll continue to give us those blessings and not, you know, suddenly randomly throw us some poverty or other sort of disastrous happening. But I don't think that's true to the character and nature of God that we read about in the Bible. God allows each of us to make choices. So we live in a world of bad choices because unfortunately we live in a world where few people follow God. So when people make bad choices, when ungodly people make bad choices, bad things happen, which means that bad things can happen to good people as well because we live in a fallen world. But We go back to that redemption again. We can allow God to take ownership of that in our lives. As we experience those things, we can allow God to take ownership of those and turn them into something that can bring glory to him. It says, blessed be his glorious name forever. Am I filling the earth with his glory? Are the rocks around me having to cry out, as it says later in the Bible? Or am I taking my part in the kingdom and pouring out praise? Someday soon, our prayers will be ended and our faith will become sight. In conclusion, there's a song that has this phrase in it. Someday, Christ's gentle voice will whisper our new name. I love that phrase. And when it does, we'll take part in that heavenly praise in the kingdom of heaven, and we'll worship our King, the King of glory, forever and ever. Let's kneel for prayer.